Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Alexis Ware had big dreams for her future. It was 2022, and she was ready to make things happen. She had two young children to provide for, and she wanted the best for them. Alexis was making a name for herself on social media, especially Instagram. She wanted to build a social media business, and so far it was going really well. Alexis, a beautiful young woman, was also attracting some unwanted attention online. Some men who would continue to reach out to her, men she referred to as the creeps. She was also making plans to move to Atlanta, Georgia soon. Alexis wanted to open a boutique and a hair salon there. As I said, the girl had dreams and she had plans. Alexis had always been a go-getter. But something odd happened in January of 2022. On Friday, January 28th, Alexis took her two children and went and stayed at her mom's house for the weekend. She did receive some strange phone calls, her mom would later recall, and she wasn't acting like herself. On Sunday, January 30th, Alexis and her kids drove the 90-minute drive back to their apartment in Greenville, South Carolina. Around 3:30 p.m., Alexis's mother, Alberta, had a video call with her daughter. She wanted to make sure she'd made it home all right, something they did often, check in on each other after the long drive. Alexis had just laid down in bed and told her mom that she was going to take a nap and she'd call her back later. Alexis seemed fine otherwise, just maybe a little bit tired. The next day, however, Alberta received a strange call from TJ, Alexis's ex, and the father of her youngest child. Alexis was missing. Her mom and brother went out to the area to search for Alexis, but they found no trace of her. Where is Alexis Ware? Hello, and welcome back to the Where Are They podcast and another unsolved missing persons case. Alexis has been missing 2.5 years now, and her story is quite mystifying. We have some accounts of what happened the day she disappeared, and some of those accounts have been verified, but we still really just have the story of one person to go on. If we keep sharing her story and the media keeps pushing for answers, maybe this is the year Alexis is found and brought home. Thank you for being a part of helping these stories gain awareness. You can help these cases get more attention by sharing, following us on social media or the family's pages, and supporting any GoFundMes that the family has set up if you are able to. I do want to welcome our newest Patreon members, Felicia and Kristen. Thank you so much for joining us and helping support our cause. Lastly, before we jump into Alexis's story, I always welcome all feedback and case suggestions. You can always email me at canwefindthem@gmail.com or hit me up on social media. Okay, let's dive into the bizarre story of Alexis Ware. Alexis Ware grew up in South Carolina in a loving and close family. She was always a fun and vibrant personality. As she grew into a young woman, it became clear that Alexis was drawn to fashion, hair, and makeup, and she wanted to make that her career. Alexis had also met TJ Patterson while living in Greenville, South Carolina. They would go on to have a child together, but their relationship would not last. Alexis also had a young child from a previous relationship. Alexis's main goal was always to take care of her children. She wanted to give them the world. She wanted them to have everything they could ever want. She wanted them to have a great future. She had dreams of opening her own salon and boutique, and she was planning on moving to Atlanta, where she hoped to make her dreams come true. Her mother would tell Dateline in an interview that Alexis had even started obtaining items for her boutique. She did have her business license already, and she started collecting things such as clothing racks, display cases, and even merchandise for the store. Alexis was also working to build her social media following. She worked her Instagram pretty hard and was successful with it. However, with all the good came some bad. Alexis, a beautiful young woman, started attracting the attention of men on Instagram, unwanted attention. Men were harassing her and sending her photographs, and Alexis was constantly blocking these accounts. She referred to these men as the creeps. Usually, these internet keyboard trolls never materialize in real life, but sometimes they do. We don't know if Alexis had any real-life connections with these men that were harassing her or messaging her online. While Alexis had these life goals, her first and most important role in life was as a mother. Alexis adored her children, and she was a very attentive mom. Everyone who knew her and the kids said they had a great relationship. Her main motivation in starting her businesses was always her children. With Alexis's driven nature, her friends and family knew that she would be successful. In January of 2022, Alexis was living in an apartment with her children in Greenville, South Carolina. On Friday, January 28th, Alexis took her kids and they made the 90-minute drive to her mother's house. They planned to stay the weekend with her and visit. They arrived Friday evening and they went to bed right away as they were all tired that night. On Saturday, Alexis's mom, Alberta, said that Alexis did seem a bit distracted. She didn't really seem like her usual upbeat self. She asked her daughter what was wrong. Alexis said she was just dealing with some crazy people online and everything would be fine. At some point, Alexis got a phone call, which made her increasingly upset. Alberta asked her what that was about, and Alexis shrugged it off. Alberta pushed a little harder and asked who it was, and Alexis's response was, "The devil." Throughout the day, Alexis and her mom had various conversations. At one point, Alexis mentioned that she thought a black pickup truck had been following her, and she was kind of afraid. Another time, she told her mom that she didn't think she was going to live to see her 30th birthday. Her mom was shocked and asked her why she would say something like that. Alexis said it was just a feeling that she had. Alexis was 29 years old. While those conversations did happen throughout the weekend, most of the weekend was a normal visit. The disappearance. Early Sunday afternoon, Alexis and the kids departed her mom's house for Greenville. They all said their goodbyes, and Alberta told her daughter to call her as soon as she made it home safely. Later that afternoon, around 3:30 p.m., Alberta was a little worried because Alexis hadn't called her yet. So she called her daughter on a video chat, and Alexis answered the phone right away. She was laying in bed. She told her mom that she was tired, she was going to take a nap, and she would call her back later. They hung up, with Alberta not knowing that would be her last conversation with her daughter. Later that evening, Alexis called TJ. and they plan to meet up to trade off the kids. More regarding this will come out later, but Alexis also told TJ that she didn't have any gas money, and TJ offered to get her gas if they would meet at the 7-Eleven gas station in Anderson, South Carolina. Alexis and TJ did meet around 7 o'clock p.m. The kids got into TJ's car, and for some reason, Alexis was going to follow them over to TJ's mother's house. They pulled out of the gas station and out onto the road, but at the red light, TJ said he saw Alexis on her phone, and without warning, she took off around him and sped off in the opposite direction they were going. TJ tried calling Alexis to see what was going on, but she didn't answer her phone. The next day, still unable to get a hold of Alexis, TJ calls her mother, Alberta. Alexis had mentioned going back over there, so he thought maybe that's where she went. But Alberta hadn't heard from her daughter, however, and panic began to set in. She didn't know that Alexis was even planning on meeting TJ that evening and thought it was strange that Alexis didn't mention it to her earlier. She also mentioned that her and her daughter talked on the phone all the time and thought it was strange that Alexis hadn't called her at all. So by now, they're all trying to call Alexis's cell phone, but she would never answer the phone. Alexis Ware had disappeared. The search and investigation. The investigation into Alexis's disappearance would turn up some interesting clues, or possible clues. First, a discussion with TJ turned up additional evidence or information. His account of what happened at the gas station that evening was corroborated by the surveillance video in the parking lot. On a Dateline interview, a detective did confirm that at some point, the video was partially obscured by a tractor-trailer truck that had pulled into the lot, but for the most part, they could see Alexis and TJ talking, the kids getting into TJ's car, and then they both drove off. Nothing seemed amiss. Both of their cars pulled out of the gas station, heading north on Highway 29. That is when Alexis was last seen, and that's when her car was last seen. Well, until later that evening. Detectives haven't released any more details, but they have confirmed that her car, a red Honda, was seen at an Anderson, South Carolina apartment complex later on that night. Did she know someone there? What brought her to that apartment complex? Was Alexis seen there or just her car? We still have a lot of questions. The following day, authorities learned that Alexis had an appointment at the Georgia Lottery Commission office in Augusta, Georgia. Alexis did not show up for this appointment. This information unleashed another mystery, however. Law enforcement learned that the weekend before, the weekend she had just spent with her mom, she had spent hundreds of dollars on lottery tickets, purchasing many from different stores in the area. She had also made that appointment at the lottery commission. This obsessive lottery ticket purchasing seemed out of character for Alexis. Some reports state that she even had asked people to borrow money so she could purchase more lottery tickets. Why did she need so many? It seemed that maybe she had hopes of winning something, thus making that appointment at the Georgia Lottery Commission office. But as it would turn out later, none of those tickets were winning tickets. Authorities continued looking for Alexis by putting her car into the system in case it was found or picked up by a license plate reader on the highways. They talked to family, friends, and acquaintances, but they finally got a real break on February 2nd, 3 days after Alexis was last seen. Her car was found in McCormick County in South Carolina, off the road in a wooded area. The man who reported it said it had been there for a couple of days, but he thought that maybe it belonged to one of the loggers in the area, as there was a lot of logging being done at that time. When investigators arrived on the scene, It was pretty clear that the car had been put there. This was not a place that a car should have been in the first place. It couldn't have broken down there. It shouldn't have even been there. After running the plates, local McCormick authorities learned that it belonged to Alexis Ware, a missing person from Greenville. Greenville and Anderson law enforcement was contacted regarding finding Alexis's car, and detectives would converge on the scene to investigate further. They combed through the car for any clues and would end up finding many of Alexis's personal belongings, items that really concerned them because they're not items that would normally be left behind, such as her purse, her cell phone, a bag of clothing, and all of those mysterious lottery tickets. They found no signs of a struggle, no DNA, and no fingerprints. A grid search was conducted, which spread over 200 acres in the surrounding area where her car was found. Detectives were looking for any clues at all, any sign of Alexis, of course, but also any of her belongings or just something that was out of place, something that might give them a clue as to why Alexis's car was there. And of course, where was Alexis? Authorities went to Alexis's family to find out what might have brought her to McCormick County. Did she have any reason at all to go there? Did she know anybody there? Were there any connections that she had there? But as far as her family knew, there were none. Her family said to their knowledge, she had no connection to McCormick County at all. Her car being found there was a complete mystery. Further investigation led detectives to a Ring doorbell camera from Alexis's neighbor. Different segments of this video ended up going viral on TikTok, and of course, speculation ran rampant. Everyone analyzing what she's saying and how she's acting, of course, and it is an interesting video. First, she goes to her neighbor's house. Now, this isn't someone who is a friend, just a neighborly acquaintance, another young woman. So, as you'll hear, her going on and on about her personal matters seems strange. Alexis seems to be just rambling on and on about a bunch of different things, and while the neighbor is looking and acting sympathetic to her, she also seems a bit confused. Does this give us some insight into Alexis's behavior leading up to her disappearance? Now, I was also curious about her relationship with TJ. Authorities have said that he is not a suspect in her disappearance, but many close to Alexis do question his innocence. It seems that TJ was abusive to Alexis in the past, and you know how it goes. Boyfriends and husbands are always of interest to the public in cases like Alexis's. There were messages shared online, however, that did verify some type of abuse between TJ and Alexis, even with TJ admitting and apologizing for it. But still, authorities have said that their investigation has shown them that TJ did not have anything to do with Alexis Ware's disappearance. Alexis's family believes he would never hurt Alexis, but they do think that he might know more than he is saying. Detectives did finally receive some information back on Alexis's cell phone records and learned that her phone last pinged at 8:15 p.m. near Abbeville, South Carolina. This adds up with her leaving the 7-Eleven just after 7:30 because Abbeville is about a 40-minute drive south. Law enforcement would also track down some highway traffic cams that picked up Alexis's car that night. The car was seen going into Augusta, Georgia, and then shortly after was seen driving north back out of Augusta, Georgia. And then remember, later that evening at some point, her car is seen at that apartment complex in Anderson, South Carolina. By March, a little more than a month after Alexis disappeared, the FBI was brought in to assist in the investigation. Anderson, South Carolina. Alexis vanished from Anderson, South Carolina. Well, at least she was last seen in Anderson, South Carolina, as far as we know. Anderson is located near the border of Georgia and kind of in the southwestern corner of the state. The population of Anderson is around 28,000 residents. She had traveled south from Greenville, where she lived, about 30 minutes to get to Anderson, where she would meet TJ. Her family speculates that maybe she was still feeling like someone was following her or that she was in danger, and she wanted TJ to take the kids so they would be safe. There was no original plan to meet TJ that night, leading many to wonder why that spontaneous meeting took place. She then spent a few minutes in Anderson with TJ and then traveled south to Abbeville, South Carolina, or at least her phone did. Traffic cams later caught her driving into Augusta, Georgia, and then back out of Augusta, Georgia, heading north, presumably back to South Carolina. Now, these traffic cams, as far as we know, did not catch who was driving the car, only caught her license plate and her car going through the reader. It looks like Interstate 28 and Interstate 29 would be the main highways to take this route. It's actually pretty much in a straight line. There are some pretty sparsely populated areas along this route, not many large water sources until you get closer to Georgia, where you have the Savannah River running along the state lines. We also know, although authorities have remained very tight-lipped on this tip, that her car was seen at an apartment complex in Anderson, South Carolina that night. Her car would be found in McCormick County, South Carolina, which sits in between Augusta, Georgia and Abbeville, South Carolina. So again, it looks like all of these places where Alexis was, where her phone pinged, and where her car was seen are all pretty much in a straight line. Greenville to Anderson to Abbeville to McCormick County to Augusta, Georgia. The Alexis Ware Act. Alexis's mother, Alberta, and other family members began working with activist Bruce Wilson on proposing new legislation regarding how missing person cases are handled in South Carolina. The Alexis Ware Act, to enhance missing persons investigations, would allow the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division to take over an investigation of a missing persons case after 12 months of no reasonable progress into the matter if the missing person's immediate family makes a request to the South Carolina Law Enforcement Division. Alberta, alongside other family members, Bruce Wilson, other missing person advocates, and even the mother of Cassie Pogue, another young woman who went missing, held a press conference on June 6, 2024, to help answer questions about this proposed law. As of this month, June 2024, there are 279 open and unsolved missing person cases. This proposed legislation is still pretty new, so developments will still be forthcoming, but it is something I will be keeping an eye on. That press conference was an emotional one, to say the least. The questions. This case has so many questions. It deserves its own question segment. First, what was going on with Alexis on January 26th that caused her somewhat odd behavior with the neighbor, that behavior that was seen and heard on that Ring doorbell cam? What has the neighbor publicly said about that? Had that ever happened before between her and Alexis? Why was Alexis buying so many lottery tickets that weekend, yet she didn't have enough gas money, according to TJ? And some have said that she even had to borrow money that weekend to buy more tickets. Could she have been desperately trying to come up with some money? Or was this some type of mental break she was having? Or did she have a history of perhaps having a gambling problem or a problem buying lottery tickets? As far as I've seen, no one was aware of anything like that before. And it did seem like she had high hopes of winning something because she did make that appointment with the Georgia Lottery Commission. She also must have had some type of hope that she would win a lot of money because she did make an appointment with the Georgia Lottery Commission. Now, I have to wonder, why Georgia? Was she going to Georgia to buy these lottery tickets to begin with? Why, if she was purchasing them in South Carolina, wouldn't she have to go to the South Carolina Lottery Commission? Had Alexis ever been known to do any hard drugs, anything that could cause her some paranoia? She believed she was in trouble and she was being followed by a black pickup truck. But was she? Some have wondered if she was experiencing some kind of paranoid behavior. I'm sure all of her electronics were forensically examined, although authorities have kept pretty mum about that. But I'd also be curious to hear about TJ's electronic trail. If he was uninvolved in Alexis's disappearance, did he know someone who was? And as for Alexis's electronics, specifically her phone records, was it confirmed that she was indeed receiving unwanted calls and messages? Were those numbers or accounts traced or looked into? Were those people interviewed? And even more specific than that, who was the person calling her that Alexis referred to as the devil? Why was her car seen traveling into Augusta, Georgia that night after dropping her kids off? Did she know people in Augusta? She had an appointment there the next day, and Augusta is a good hour and a half from her home in Greenville. So why did she make the drive there that night, if she indeed did? And if her car was found in McCormick, and it was Alexis who put it there, that means she drove from Greenville to Anderson to Abbeville to Augusta, Georgia, then back to Anderson where her car was seen at the apartment building, and then back down south to McCormick County. That's a lot of driving back and forth in one evening. What do you think happened to Alexis Ware? Alexis is described as a black female standing 5'6" tall and weighing around 200 pounds when she was last seen in January of 2022. She was 29 years old then and would today be 31. She has black hair and brown eyes. She was wearing a black jacket, a purple shirt, blue jeans, black Crocs, and a black hair bonnet when she was last seen on camera at that 7-Eleven in Anderson, South Carolina. She has numerous tattoos, including a rose on one hand, a leaf-like feather on her other hand, footprints and the date 11-30-19 on her arm, flowers on her hip and thigh, paw prints on her other thigh, a cheetah print pattern on her shoulder, a cross between her breasts, and additional tattoos on both sides of her chest, her back, her abdomen, both forearms, the inside of her wrist, and on her calf. She does wear dentures, and she often goes by the nickname Lex. Anyone with any information on the whereabouts of Alexis Ware is asked to contact the Anderson County Sheriff's Office at 864-260-4400. This case is baffling, as many of these unsolved cases are, and her family is pushing hard for this to be solved. Every time human remains are found in the area, her mom holds her breath. Her brother and sister speak out regularly, desperately wanting to know where their sister is. Let's do our part and help this family. Let's keep sharing this story. Let's keep the pressure on. Someone out there knows something, even if it's something small about Alexis's life. If you have any insight at all, please reach out. Oftentimes, it's those little things that can solve a case. If you've made it this far and would like to help our show get more exposure, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and review. This does help distribution, and we need the right person to hear Alexis's story and do the right thing. If you have a case suggestion for me, please send me an email at canwefindthem@gmail.com. A big thank you once again to our newest Patreon members, Kristen and Felicia. Your support helps us so much, and we appreciate your patronage. All of our social media links, my contact information, and our Patreon link is available down in the show notes. Thank you again for tuning in to Alexis's story. Hopefully I'll have an update on her case to share with you. Be sure to keep an eye out on our socials. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing persons case. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.